大杉正明のクロスカルチャーセミナー
Sponsored by Olympus
Welcome to the Cross Culture Seminar. My name is Masaaki Osugi.
And I'm Susan Iwamoto.
Well, Susan, we've been doing this interview series, and I would like to continue.
Sure.
Ask you, first of all, about your college days.
Ah, my college days, so long ago.
Well, not so long ago, I suppose, maybe just a few years ago. Before entering college, you must have had, you know, lots of expectations, you know, like getting independent from your family, getting more freedom, studying this and that. So what were your expectations before entering college?
Good question. You're right. I had great expectations of college, that's for sure, both socially and academically. I was really looking forward to getting to study things more seriously, such as political science, and especially excited about being able to study Japanese again. Japanese wasn't offered in my high school, and I'd been wanting to study it again for some time, so I was particularly excited about that. And from a social perspective, I knew that I would be living in a dormitory and figured I'd have a chance to make a lot of new friends. So I was really excited about that, of course, but also a little bit nervous as well. And I was sad, of course, to be leaving my family. I knew, I felt it was the right time, you know, the right step in my life. But of course, it was hard to say goodbye to my parents.
Mm-hmm. Was your first time to leave your parents and live alone?
That's right. That's right. So it was definitely a major step in my life, that's for sure.
And you mentioned you were going to live in the dormitory. So did you know beforehand what kind of dormitory it was going to be?
I had a rough idea. I'm trying to remember now. I didn't know exactly which one. I went to a very large state university, so we had many, many dormitories. So I got my assignment ahead of time and didn't know who my roommate was going to be until I got there. In most cases in our university dormitories, we would share a room with one student, generally one student. Occasionally, people would have single rooms, but I had one roommate who I met on the first day of school, and uh-huh. She was moving in as well.
See, was it a co-educational, of course, the school itself is co-educational,
sure.
Right? But what about the dormitory? Is it a unisex dormitory or?
That's a good question. And actually, this reminds me of something that really surprised my mother, actually, when she was helping me move into the dormitory. Now, most of the dormitories in my college were co-ed. So co-educational. But my mother apparently had a different idea about what a co-ed dorm would be. So we moved in. We went to my floor, found my room with my name on it. You know, there was a resident assistant who had put everyone's names on the door. And she looked across the hall, directly across the hall from my room, were two boys' names on the door.
Right.
So my mom's image had been that it would be perhaps one section, like one completely separate section of a building would be for the girls and one for the boys. But in fact, on the same floor, it was every other room. Basically, it was a girl's room and then a boy's room and then a girl's room and a boy's room. We were living completely co-ed.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm sure that was a very exciting dormitory life. But
sure.
Before we go into that, I would like to know what sort of university town it was that, the university was located in.
Oh, right. I went to the University of Massachusetts, which is a very large state university, and I went to its main campus, which was located in a town called Amherst, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
It was about 2 hours west of Boston. Small town, and actually our university was rather large. We had about 20,000 students, so I think that may have equaled the town's population, actually, too.
Right.
So there's definitely a big impact during the school year. And there were a few other colleges in the area as well. So it had a small town feeling, but because the university was so large, in the middle of town, there was kind of a mix of a little taste of city life in the sense that there were a lot of cultural events happening, but still had the charms of a small town.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. See, do you pronounce the name of the town Amherst or Amherst?
Oh, good question. If you are going to school in the area or you live there, you don't pronounce the H, but it seems like everybody else does. It looks like Amherst with an H, but all the locals and everyone would say Amherst without the H sound.
All right, I understand. All right, so is it do you have department stores, things like that?
Well, there was a shopping mall, a decent-sized shopping mall that was located a bus ride away. I'm trying to remember whether it was in our town or not, but it was certainly close enough. If you had a car, it was probably a 10-minute drive from campus. Mm-hmm. And there was a very good bus system, actually, a free public bus system that all of the students and actually local residents could use, too. So in that one sense, yes. But in the kind of main area of town, like the main street, it was mostly very small, independently owned shops and restaurants, a few bars, of course, for the college students, that sort of thing.
Right. So the town itself doesn't have much industry, does it?
No, not really. I think the main industry there was definitely education.
It was,
as I mentioned, dominated by University of Massachusetts. And there's also a very well-known liberal arts college called Amherst College that was located right in town as well.
Right. So it's a very educational environment.
Definitely. Definitely. I think all of the professors tended to live right in that area as well, too. So all of their kids were at the local schools. So definitely a college town.
Mm-hmm. You majored in Japanese, political science and Japanese.
Well, I majored in political science, focusing on international relations and Asian studies within that. And my minor was Japanese.
Minor was Japanese. Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what was your typical day, say, on weekdays? What was your typical day like?
Typical day for me. Well, I usually took about 5 classes per semester, and each class would meet either Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday. So I had a different schedule depending on, you know, which day of the week it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with taking a lot of political science courses and Japanese courses, I was very lucky because the classes didn't start very early in the morning. Usually started around 10 a.m. My earliest class, I think, was 9:30. And this was a very good thing for a college student because
I'm sure.
with dorm life, you know, and studying or just having fun, there tended to be very late nights, so I was lucky. Unfortunately, my engineering and business school friends weren't quite as lucky. They often had to get up for 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning classes and were always, I think, a little bit jealous of my 10 a.m. starts.
Right.
So I had a very relaxing morning, I think you could say.
Oh, yes. It's quite unusual for any Japanese, freshman to start his or her day 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning. Usually they have to be there at any school by 8:30 or like that.
Too early. Even for me, I thought 9:30 was just far too early in the morning. And I was very lucky too, living in the dormitory. My commute to class was usually about 10 minutes, like a 10-minute walk.
So you didn't even have to use a bike.
No. Just 10-minute walk. My dormitory was right on campus, so it was just a very nice walk through some trees or down a nice path, that sort of thing, and would roll into class just as it was beginning.
Great. Okay. It is often said that the average American student studies much harder than the average Japanese student. Do you think that's true?
You know, I've heard that a lot, too. And, to be honest, I only went to an American university. So I often wonder if it is, especially a lot of Japanese friends will say that. I will say, I definitely studied hard. My friends did as well. I mean, we like to have fun, too. But when it came down to it, it was expected of us. In order to graduate, we had to be on top of our classes at all times. I often wonder about that. Some people say that for Japanese students that right up until university. So, for example, high school is much tougher. But once you're in university, you can relax a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I often wonder if that's the case.
Mm. What I mean is a lot of people say that American profs tend to give a lot of assignment to their students and that the students have to work very hard, like every night.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And particularly over the weekends.
Definitely. Every night. So we would have, certainly in my political science classes, we would have pages and pages and pages to read every night. Again, the classes would meet usually every other day for a particular course. So we would have, I guess, in a sense, two nights to get that work done. And we needed to be prepared in particular because often there was a discussion in class. The professor would have, you know, a lecture as well, but he or she would expect students to participate. And if you didn't do the reading and you weren't prepared to discuss, which, you know, happens sometimes, I can remember one class in particular where for some reason, I think the majority of the students, unfortunately, including me, had decided not to do all the reading, thinking, oh, this time, you know, I'm sure I can just slide by. It'll be okay. I'll just listen. And we got to class, and it turned out of, I think, about 20 or 25 students in the class, only about 3 or 4 had actually completed the reading. And the professor had been planning on having a full discussion of the materials, and she was so angry at us because we hadn't done the reading and said, this is unacceptable. You know, you have to come back next time in order to be able to do this. So there's that expectation that you have to be ready to discuss and apply what you've learned.
Right, right. And what would you do for fun over the weekends?
Good question. And, well, I'll say my answer changes depending on whether you're asking me before I turned 21 or after I turned 21, which is the legal drinking age.
Okay.
Before I turned 21, you know, I would hang out with my friends mostly. We'd hang out on campus, or we might go out to dinner, go see a movie, that sort of thing. And, of course, there were kids under 21 who would drink as well, but they had to be very secretive about it because it was illegal.
Right.
I wasn't so interested in that at the time. After 21, then we were able to get into the local clubs and bars to go and have a drink and socialize. So I guess from my third year on, that tended to be more part of my weekend, I guess.
Well, would you go back to school if you can?
Go back to those college days,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Not if you paid me. You know, it was great at the time, but that was a special time in my life. I enjoyed it, but, you know, I was ready to move on to adult life in the working world.
I understand. さてですね、ポリティカルサイエンスっていうのが専攻だったんですね。まあ、日本語をマイナー、これはまあ、副専攻ですよね。ということだったんですが、まあ、とにかく、コーエデュケーショナルっていうのは共学で、大学そのものがですね、マサチューセッツ大学は共学の大きな大学ですけれども、寮が共学、寮が共学ってのはおかしいけど、まあ要するにね、女子専用とか男子専用になってないんだよね。もう隣り合わせの状態ですよね。同じドミトリーの棟にですね。これはね、お母さん、ちょっと送ってってびっくりしちゃいますよね。というわけで、僕、その量だったら入ってみたいって思ってる人たくさんいるんじゃないですか、これ聞いてて。と思いますけどね。まあ、そのわけで、大学のですね、授業は結構ですね、スーザンさんの場合には9時半とかね、10時頃に始まって、ラッキーっていう感じですよね。非常に近く、歩いて10分くらいの寮からご出勤っていうか通学。まあ楽ですよね。ということですが、しかしやはりアメリカの大学はたくさんアサイメント、課題を出して勉強をしなければならない。これは確かなんですね。さて、もう一回ですね、これ戻れたら戻りますかって言ったら、いえ、もうお金もらっても行かないわっていうことですけれどもね。それはやはりですね、アダルトライフに。どういうアダルトライフかわかりませんが、ムーブオンってよくアメリカ人言いますよね。先行こう、先行こうっていうね。そういう積極的な姿勢でですね、もう振り返らないわよと。こういうことなんだと思いますけどね。Alright, let's go on to the phrases.
Okay, the first phrase is fast friends. Now, fast friends are good friends, close friends. And this is a fairly common expression. So, for example, you could say,Julie and I became fast friends after we met during school orientation.
Mm-hmm. Fast っていうのは早いって意味です。Fast friends。これはすぐに友人になれた人をこういうふうに呼ぶわけですね。今のですと、オリエンテーションで大学の新入生のオリエンテーションですからね。そこで出会ってすぐにもう友人になれた。まあ、こうやってすぐに友人になるっていうのは、反りが合うとか、気が合うとか、そういうことなんだと思いますよね。ではもう一度今の例をお願いしましょう。
Julie and I became fast friends after we met during school orientation.
All right, let's go on to the second one.
Okay, the second one, I actually mentioned a little earlier. I wouldn't do something if you paid me. Now, the do something can be replaced with some sort of action. So I wouldn't go back to college if you paid me. I wouldn't relive those days, for example. Or you could say, I wouldn't go back to that restaurant if you paid me. Both the food and service were terrible.
Mm. I understand. So the implication is, even if you paid me, is that correct?
Exactly. So you really don't want to do it, and usually you don't want to do it again, or it could be for the first time. For example, if someone suggests bungee jumping or skydiving, and you really don't want to do it, you could say, I wouldn't do it if you paid me.
Right.
Sometimes shortened to, not if you paid me.
So, I wouldn't do 何々なんかしないわ。しないよ if you paid me、お金をもらったとしてもつまりあなたが私にお金払ってくれたとしてもっていうんですけれどもこれはまあ even if you paid me というような意味でたとえお金をもらってもっていうことなんですねだからすごく強い意味の絶対しないわということになるわけですねさあ今の例文をもう一度お願いしましょう
I wouldn't go back to that restaurant if you paid me. Both the food and service were terrible.
というわけでね、料理もまずいしサービスも悪いと、まあ、いうことで、絶対あんな店もう二度と行かないわとこういうことになるわけですね。ということで、今回はカレッジライフについて、質問をしましたが、さあ次はどんなトピックでしょうね。See you next time.
Thanks for listening.
大杉正明のクロスカルチャーセミナー
Sponsored by Olympus.
クロスカルチュラルセミナーをお聞きの皆さん、いつもありがとうございます。皆さんはどうやって語学学習をしていますか？ラジオ講座などで勉強している方もたくさんいらっしゃると思いますが、いつも聞いているラジオ番組が聞けないこともあるでしょう。そんな時の強い味方がオリンパスのラジオサーバー VJ10 です。ハードディスク付きラジオレコーダーで最大約2500時間も録音できるんです。
1日24時間。
それでいくと何日録音しっぱなしでいいの？みたいなね。AM、FM チューナーにステレオスピーカー付きですよ。20件の番組予約も OK 録音した番組の早聞き遅聞きやリピート再生も可能で語学学習にドンピシャリすごいなこれはしかも早聞き遅聞き再生は2倍速から 0.5 倍速までの9段階に対応パソコンとの接続も OK なのでポッドキャスト番組はもちろん音楽もダウンロードして聞くことができますよラジオサーバー VJ10 はオリンパスのオンラインショップか三省堂書店でお買い求めいただけます詳しくは voicetrek.jp にアクセスさあこれであなたの語学学習もきっと変わりますよ Olympus.